This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1996. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded August 22nd, Armenia, Ascension, Australia, Bangladesh, Bulgaria, China, Cuba, Faroe Islands, Greenland, Iceland, India, Kashmir, Korea North, Korea South, Mexico, Myanmar, North America, Solomon Islands, Taiwan, Ukraine, USA, Uzbekistan, Zambia, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, HFCC will be meeting at the end of August in Buenos Aires, Argentina, to coordinate high frequencies for the upcoming B19 season, which starts at the end of October. And as usual, some special broadcasts are planned for that occasion, even though, as Chris Lobdell points out in NASA, only about 50 people will be attending the event. But the rest of us may also overhear the special broadcast, notably by Digital Radio Mondial, which always takes this opportunity to promote itself. Matt Francis in Sydney gives us details. These are from Monday through Thursday, August 26th to 29th at 16 to 17 UT on 21630 via Ascension. So it should be putting a good signal into Argentina. The times may be the same, but each day there will be a different broadcaster participating. On Monday 26th, it's BBC World Service in English. Tuesday 27th, KBS Korea in Spanish. Wednesday 28th, NHK Japan in Spanish. And Thursday 29th, TWR in Spanish. More to our report last week about the technical problems afflicting the only shortwave frequency left from Bangladesh Betar 4750, which for the past several months has been carrying or attempting to carry their external service instead of their domestic service. These observations from Ron Howard in California. He says, back on August 8th, I reported the transmitter problem of no programming audio, instead just a strong hum and buzzing noise, which continued during the English segment at 12:30 to 13 UT. However, August 20th, he finally heard some audio, as well as the usual hum and buzzing, so they still had a serious problem to fix. And furthermore, it started late at 12:39, when they suddenly came on with the interval signal and into English. But it was unreadable, and it stopped at 1300 as if it had started on time. Then on August 21st, he tuned in earlier at 11:41 and heard two stations mixing together, one being CNR1 from China, the other unidentified but presumed to be Bangladesh, although it usually started at 12:30. But this one had good audio, unlike the hum and buzzing noise, but he did not get a definite ID. There was subcontinental music and singing, and it cut off at 12:19. At 12:33, the transmitter with the hum and buzzing sound came back on in English and went off at 1300. Back on at 1308 with humming and buzzing prior to their next broadcast scheduled at 1315, actually starting at 1313. But this time there was also CW heard on the frequency, not sure if coming out of the same transmitter or not. August 22nd, another day with an anomaly. Random checking from 1140 to 1300 found no signal from Bangladesh at all. No home service and no external service in English, only China. But they did come on at 1308 for their external service. That would be Nepali, scheduled at 1315, I believe. Ron says perhaps the problem was not the transmitter, but audio feeds, different for the home and external services, produced at different locations with different equipment. I checked the Overcomer Ministry website to see if they were showing the times we've actually been hearing them on WBCQ 7490. No, it's still dated June, but there is a notation in red to get our attention, saying that they're expanding their shortwave outreach with two new 300 kilowatt transmitters via Bulgaria to cover the entire world. Really? Nobody else knows about this, not even Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria, who is certainly well informed. He says that's fake news. In fact, it's impossible, he says. However, Bulgaria is relaying Brother Scare on several frequencies using old 50 or 100 kilowatt transmitters. except on August 22nd, he found their scheduled transmissions missing between 14 and 19 UT at least. Almost every morning, usually during the 13 UT hour, I survey CNR1 jammers from China and occasionally Fire Dragon music jamming between 9 and 15 megahertz. I won't go into detail now, but you can read all about it, of course, in my log reports and in DX Listening Digest, the latest edition, number 19-34, when published via worldofradio.com. Likewise, something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. Wrong frequencies, missing frequencies, bad modulation, etc. Once again, read about it elsewhere. Dr. Walt Salmaniv from Victoria, B.C. has been on a transatlantic cruise on the Zuiderdam and filing many reports of his monitoring on long, medium, and short wave. For example, about the Faroe Islands transmitter on 531 kHz. He says August 13th at 17:07, I highly suspect they are running their full 10 kilowatts. Extremely well heard right across the ocean north of the Faroes. It was heard well for 2 days preceding and 2 days following, from leaving Iceland to leaving Norway. On the 15th, midday in the North Sea, east-southeast of the Faroes, not heard during the day, so I'm thinking they must have a northerly beam. He's also been visually spotting long-wave beacon sights, if not hearing them along the coasts of Iceland and Greenland. Following is not exactly new news, but it certainly bears repeating. Russ DX quotes a story in the Indian newspaper The Hindu about All India Radio. They're making a stunning phasing out statement in early June about shortwave. If the national broadcaster chooses this path, All India Radio will have to stop all global shortwave broadcasts 80 years after they started international broadcasting in 1939. AIR is resisting this step, claiming that it will limit its global reach. They have 46 transmitters in operation for domestic and external services. 26 are used only for external. With the exception of 3 transmitters that have recently been installed, all others must be turned off in the next 6 months. Overseas broadcasts from India are broadcast to 150 countries in 13 Indian dialects and 15 foreign languages. I'll bet it's more than 150. However, Prasar Bharati CEO Shashi Shekhar Wempati denies that stopping broadcasting on HF will affect the global reach of foreign listeners. He said in future, the world, the AIR service, will be primarily digital, taking advantage of medium wave broadcasting capabilities domestically. We will also explore the possibility of hiring airtime on transmitters outside of India, where necessary, like China does in Nepal, for example. Well, this should be quite an improvement, actually, for reception in the Western Hemisphere, something India has never done, relays abroad. And on to nearby Kashmir, because of the political changes there, there was a news blackout, so BBC World Service stepped up its shortwave broadcasts into the area in Urdu, Hindi, and in English. We reported on this last week, including a full-hour news program in Hindi at 14 to 15 UT on 11995 and 9515. However, Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener in Germany says he's actually hearing that one on 9510. As for the Urdu broadcast at 07 to 729 UT, Dr. Biener reports hearing it on 13650 via the UAE and 15310 via Oman. He doesn't understand Urdu, but suspects they may actually be running the 15-minute broadcast twice in a row instead of a full half-hour programming. On August 19th and 20th, he also confirms BBC World Service English at 02 to 03 on 9670 via Uzbekistan and 11795 via Armenia, at 16 to 17, 6040 Uzbekistan and 7345 via Armenia. Ivo Ivanov says they've also added another frequency for the 11 to 12 UT broadcast via Tashkent, 9580. North Korea using DRM, 3560 kHz, reported at various times August 20th and 21st by Hans Johnson via Chris Greenway in the British DX Club in the DRM mode. In fact, this has occurred occasionally. I was at first wondering, is this really DRM or is it just different kind of noise jamming? But Alan Pennington points out this has been reported before on this frequency in 2017 and even in 2012, according to North Korea Tech. And at that time, it was definitely DRM, since the visual evidence could be seen. Wolfgang Büschel explains, new transmitters from the Chinese company BBEF were delivered at that time, and they were DRM capable. As to whether they are now deliberately testing it or perhaps pushing the wrong buttons, that's not clear. In some cases, language lessons are the best or only way to hear certain stations in English. Ron Howard reports, Echo of Hope, South Korea, 4885, also abbreviated VOH. He says, I am daily hearing the Easy English Language Lesson in English and Korean, observed at 1040 UT and again at 1340 on 4885, always very readable. This frequency is never jammed, but sometimes interfered by OTH radar, otherwise in the clear. The announcers are Perky, Perky Jenny, and Happy Isaac. Rick Barton in Arizona enjoys listening to XECL in Mexicali BCN on 990 kHz, which you may recall earlier was supposed to be closing down, but it's still active. He heard it on August 15th at 0315 UT with a romantic ballad, their familiar jingle, Rockola 990, the jukebox. And he says, thanks for the tip from Glenn Kippel in the Mojave Desert. This old favorite of ours is back. I recall the times when it had a lot of oldies from the 50s and 60s. They played the original versions and Spanish language covers done by Mexican bands. Nothing like Wild Thing or The Surfing Bird in Spanish. I had a button set on 990 in my pickup. Beyond My Radio does have some scheduled English, but more conveniently perhaps, language lessons, as I was just talking about, from Ron Howard in California. On 5985, he says, I'm hearing two consecutive five-minute shows of learning English with BBC Burmese. They're running together from about 1300 to 1310 on Wednesday and Friday, such as August 21st at 1302 in progress, about can you play football? No, I don't, but I go running, and so on. Usually reception is fairly readable for him at Asilomar State Beach. Ralphus W. Perry in Illinois seems to be specializing in hearing obscure programs, if not stations. His latest report to Listener's Notebook of the North American Shortwave Association about Myanmar Non 11905. He got a QSL from Hingma Aul Matu Radio in Rangoon. A nice response from the operator at the studio via Reach Beyond Australia. He says, another of my remote studio targets. A lot of fun for me to hear and often provide a challenge to track down the studio contact. Often one hears an email address during a transmission. Other times one can find a correspondence address on the website of the hosting organization, like RBA or Adventist World Radio, Transworld Radio, FEBC, FEBA. Sometimes these guys stay incognito since their studios are in hostile environments. Hingna Aul Matu Radio is operated by a Burmese named Aung Win, who was recruited by RBA and who at first did not see himself operating a radio studio. He writes a long, interesting story in his response to my report. It transmits Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday on 11905 via Kununurra, Australia at 1130 to 1200. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 1996. A non-commercial service, as are our website, worldofradio.com, and publication, DX Listening Digest. But we do have expenses and thus very much appreciate voluntary financial support. Our thanks this week for a contribution from Steve McGreevy in California, who says, a gift for your ongoing work of excellence with World of Radio and DX Listening Digest. He sent his contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. By the way, from abroad, you do not necessarily need to send it in U.S. funds, as PayPal will convert. One may also contribute via money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Antichrist Pirate Station YHWH continues to broadcast almost every evening on 7470. Rick Barton in Arizona reports on this frequently. He says, The pattern I'm seeing is that it starts off at armchair level and fades into static by the end. For example, on August 19th, at 02:45, I was monitoring the channel when suddenly the station comes up just out of nowhere with Josiah, very strong, and going into another room. I'm able to hear him on the little Longines Symphonette World Traveler 4-band portable with its telescopic whip. The signal went from excellent to good around 0300, and at 03:45, he's telling us to burn the flags, seemed to just fade into the static at 03:50. Usually the case, the station's very strong in the beginning and always ends sketchy at the end. I wonder if he's running the station off AAA batteries or what. Jim Barrett replies from Elmira. When the station suddenly appeared, was Josiah already speaking, as if the program started in mid-sentence? My own theory is that he may be running the station from a remote location and may not be physically present at the transmitter when it is on the air. He's likely using a modified ham transceiver. There were several ICOM models that could be easily modified to operate on any HF frequency by simply clipping a diode or jumper. Most modern solid-state transceivers operate off 12 volts, so they can be used in mobile installations directly, or as desktop radios with a 120 to 12 volt power supply. Your comment about AAA batteries may not be far off the mark. If the YHWH transmitter is running from a remote location, it would be easy to set it up to run off battery power, perhaps using a rechargeable car battery, with a timer to power everything up at a specific time. The audio source could be a CD player or even an old-school cassette player. It would explain why the signal always seems to progressively weaken over time and why it sometimes commences in mid-sentence. It would be easy enough to have a timer circuit that powers up the transmitter and the audio source at the same time. This theory could be completely wrong, but having once run afoul of the FCC, perhaps Josiah wants to introduce some plausible deniability by using a remote transmitter that operates automatically, so that he is not anywhere near it in case it gets tracked down again. This could even be equipped with solar cells to recharge the battery during the day, kind of like the low-power desert beacons writ large, says Jim Barrett. I say if it's controlled by a timer, why do the start times vary from one night to the next? But then there is no AC power, so the timer itself would not be reliably accurate. Another favorite station for Ron Howard to monitor is Solomon Islands on both its frequencies. For example, August 17th on 5020 from 1100 until off at 1159, better than normal reception. Calliope and News, usual format of pop songs, ending with the usual evening devotional ID and national anthem. He says normally the audio here is below threshold level. And then August 18th on 9545 until off at 0459, the reception slowly improving before cutting off, the last 10 or 15 minutes almost readable. Then August 19th, 1100 to 1159, off again, 5020 with some audio and the usual format, Calliope again and News, DJ with dedications, but it went off before the national anthem. And August 20th until cut off at 0459, heard first at 0417 on 9545. Finally, some audio, at times briefly readable with commercials and PSAs. Several IDs before cutoff mentioned changing frequency. Still a challenge to hear SIBC, but day by day, he says, it seems to be improving. We shortwave listeners are well acquainted with Sound of Hope, the clandestine for China based in Taiwan, at least as far as many of its low-power transmitters. There are scores of frequencies, and our attention is drawn to them by the severe but not quite complete Chi-Com jamming, way out of band, usually with CNR1 programming, but sometimes with Fire Dragon. Well, this is all part of the Falun Gong movement, known for its publication in the U.S. called the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H. NBC has published a story about this. The Epoch Times has been paying for some of the biggest pro-Trump ads on Facebook. Brandy Zadrozny reports after NBC News exclusively learned that Epoch is tied to a Chinese spiritual group whose goal is to take down China's government. You may be able to find this along with the video at nbcnews.com. Besides supporting Trump, of course, it also makes wild apocalyptic claims which have been thoroughly debunked. Another NBC story says Trump, QAnon, and an impending judgment day behind the Facebook-fueled rise of the Epoch Times. It started as a mission to provide info to Chinese communities to help immigrants assimilate into American society. The Epoch Times now wields one of the biggest social media followings of any news outlet. Too bad that the NBC stories never get around to mentioning anything about shortwave or Sound of Hope. Ukraine plans to resume medium-wave broadcasting, a report in Rusty X originating with proradio.org.ua. It says the NSTU supervisory board recommended buying a medium-wave transmitter to restore the broadcast of UR1 and take measures for the speedy resumption of broadcasting of the first program of Ukrainian radio on medium-wave 549 kHz. The decision made by members of the supervisory board at the last meeting August 1st after they considered the questions about the termination of broadcasting of Ukrainian radio on medium-wave. Public broadcasting on June 1st, the NSTU refused to order a broadcast service for the first channel on 549 kHz. The chairman of the board explained that there is no problem because FM coverage of the public broadcaster is developing rapidly. However, the supervisory board received almost 60 appeals from citizens regarding the termination of broadcasting on medium-wave 549 since June. The secretary of the board said at the meeting, much more appeals were received on the government hotline. Array from the Nikolaev region with a capacity of 500 kilowatts covers most of the territory of Ukraine during the evening to morning and 60% in the daytime, including the occupied territories. From ARRL via Richard Cuff, NASA, Department of Defense message prompts listeners to take a survey of WWV and WWVH. Through Saturday, August 24th, the stations are transmitting a DoD message in conjunction with an interoperability exercise, urging listeners to complete a survey of WWV listenership and habits. They're broadcast at 10 minutes past the hours on WWV and 50 minutes past on WWVH, 2.5, 5, 10, 15, 20, and 25 megahertz. It suggested it would be a good idea to participate in this survey. They presumably explain where to find it on the announcement, just to make sure that they know that WWV stations still have enthusiastic listeners. Concerning World of Radio scheduling, our time on Area 51 is UT Monday 0300, variable slightly, on WBCQ 5130+. However, on August 19th, I could not hear it on the webcast, which is normally running well. The webcast was not up, and I couldn't be sure the signal on 5130 was actually World of Radio. Larry Will of Area 51 explains that 0115, a strong thunderstorm and lots of lightning passed through our place in Mount Airy, Maryland. At 1:27, our power failed. The UPS protecting the radios and computers actually lasted longer than the Internet, which gave up the ghost at 1:35. Power was not restored here until the early morning. No damage, but there were multiple reports of power poles snapped by the storm in the immediate area. So Area 51 was off after 0130 that night. I'll have to suspend listing World of Radio as carried by Unique Radio in New South Wales until we receive word that it's back. Their website says, as of August 21st, 3210 and 5045 are off the air due to either a feed or antenna problem, also a power supply issue which needs to be rectified. All faults will be rectified when time is available for repairs and funds are available. Unique Radio may also come online soon. I wish all our affiliates were this diligent in keeping us up to date on schedule changes. Chrissy Cochran of the Global Voice tells me August 22nd, we've altered slightly times of World of Radio on the Global Voice. First airing is now Saturday at 0600 UT, repeating Monday at 1700. And of course, also available from our program gallery on demand. While you're at it, check out all the other programming at theglobalvoice.info, radio for all. The 500 kilowatt superstation of WBCQ was back on the air the afternoon of August 16th on 9330 exactly. Mostly simulcasting WBCQ FM with country music and commercials, branded as KIXX FM, Kix FM, but they also carried Behavior Night at 2100, giving it quite a boost over the usual 7490. This was leading up to Alan Wiener Worldwide during the first UT hour of August 17th. After that, it was off again, not heard at all for the following week at least. But from that program, we gleaned some more info about the situation according to Alan Wiener. The rotatable antenna manufacturer Ampegon went bankrupt and was bought by Cestron. That's C-E-S-T-R-O-N, which stands for Communication Engineering Services and Electronics, an English name, even though it's based in Germany. He says Cestron has $300,000 worth of spare parts for WBCQ, which he hopes to be able to get. Another problem is that they have no documentation about the antenna. Cestron is rehiring most of the old Ampegon engineers, and he hopes they will come to WBCQ by the end of August and get to work. The antenna covers all shortwave bands, but each frequency must be pre-programmed into it with proper antenna tuning settings, etc., and they need documentation on exactly how to do that correctly. Classical Music Radio is coming back to Kansas City. Thanks to Artie Bigley for this story from Lance Venna on Radio Insight. The public radio station there, KCUR, has purchased another non-commercial station, KWJC, from William Jewell College for $2 million. So the University of Missouri, Kansas City will operate it as a classical music station, leaving KCUR to news and talk. The 91.9 signal had been silent, but it'll be a while yet before classical starts up. According to this story, the move to bring classical to FM in Kansas City for the first time since Intercom flipped 96.5 KXTR to modern AC in 2000. Then it moved to 1250 and later classical to 1660 for a while until 2012. The new format should launch by spring 2020. About Radio 1 ZNBC in Zambia on 5915, Ron Howard says, regarding my reports of erratic reception, I've got this from Ray Robinson of Voice of Hope on August 18th. My staff in Zambia tell me the state-run broadcaster ZNBC has negotiated with the state-run electricity utility ZESCO to be exempted from load shedding. Thus, 5915 should still be on the air 24/7, barring any transmission equipment failure. At the Voice of Hope shortwave site, we are still seeing power outages from 6 to 10 hours daily, with the threat of expansion of these hours in September. So our afternoon and evening broadcast schedule continues. Ron Howard adds, recently I have not found any carrier generally before 0400, but often catch the 0500 news in English. On August 22nd, it seems rather erratic. At 0458, often heard the commercial announcement in English about my 10-year-old son always catches colds and flu from school, a commercial for soap that fights germs and viruses before news in English. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field expected to reach unsettled activity levels on August 26th to 28th and September 6th and 7th, ANK indices peaking at 38 and 5 on September 1st. But before and after that, mostly 5 and 2 or 8 and 3, while solar flux, 68 through August 25th, then down to 67 through September 11th, when it may creep back up to 68. That's World of Radio 1996. Glenn Hauser, thanks for listening and hoping you'll hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.